This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And today we are doing kind of a feminist movie, Wednesday, Friday, but not really. Because originally, okay, so we're talking about Frozen. And it sprawled out, and it is a two-parter now. And it what I wanted to look at is the 10-year anniversary of Frozen. So many people are writing so many things about it. It's almost impressive that I just wanted to look back at it, and I wanted to look at the fairy tale it's based off of. And we kind of talked about doing that as our book club for this month, but it's really short. And so I wanted to do a comparison, and then As a lot of our episodes tend to do, it just grew and grew and grew. There were more articles than I could ever read. I know Samantha knows this about me. I try not to use my phone after 10 p.m., but last night I was texting you at like midnight, like, whoa, Frozen.
Yeah. I actually refrained from texting you.
Yeah.
Because that's like, she's got this rule. And then you texted me and I was like, oh, wait.
Yeah, because of Frozen. Because of, and I just went on this whole rabbit hole, and I was looking into, there were so many articles. This honestly, like, somebody could just, and I bet someone already has, just do a show about all of the things written about Frozen. This is not that show, but we're going to go over some of the main points of a lot of those things. In this, I think the first part is going to be a breakdown of the movie and then the fairy tale and then the differences between. And then the next part will be a look at the legacy of it. So look forward to that. And I am very excited about something Samantha's going to contribute, because this is going to be a lot of me talking about Frozen. But
yes, because we look behind the curtains. I had a Mandela effect moment with this movie, because when I saw the outline, I was like, oh, okay, apparently we're doing this. And I was like, I think I've seen it. I'm pretty sure I've seen it. Well, I don't know. Let me go back and look. Maybe I didn't see it. Maybe I haven't seen it. And then going back and forth. And so I was like, I'll watch it. Because at first you're like, you don't need to. I was like, no, I feel like I should watch it. Okay. I make you watch things just to prepare. So let's go. So last night, my partner and I actually sat down, and he was like, so how far behind are we? I was like, yeah, this is a 10-year anniversary for this movie. That's how far we are. And as it opened up the credits, first and foremost, can we talk about, I guess we will first. I thought I had accidentally clicked on Moana. Because the opening credit music was like very native indigenous music. And I was like, I don't understand why they put this as their revelation song. And maybe there's a reason behind it. And I don't know. But I was just like, this doesn't fit. I'm expecting more of like a Midsommar type of a chant with the very, 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 very white people here.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of confused on that very note, because I was like, did I put on Moana? Like, what what's happening? Because I've never seen Moana either. I've not seen either one. Mm-hmm. So as it started, for the first half of the movie, I was like, yeah, I've never seen this movie. I had no idea. I knew who was here. I knew who the characters were. I can tell you how it ends. And then like, I think the last 10, 15 minutes, I was like, oh, this is the part I've seen. Which made me think that I was like, somewhere along the lines, I've seen so many clips of this movie or talked so much about this movie with people, or people have told me about it, maybe. I don't have children around. At this point, I was not nannying, so that's why I wouldn't have watched this movie. And I was like, oh, yeah, I really convinced myself that I had seen this movie. I'm glad that I did watch it, because I'd been so confused and had so many questions.
Yeah, and I told you, like, I probably have seen this movie, like, 7 to 10 times, I'll give it. But I feel like I've seen it a million times because it was just so huge in our culture and the zeitgeist. Like, it was so popular. And I actually have some really fun quotes about this from other countries about how popular it was.
Yeah.
But it just, like, it feels so big.
It does.
And it is. It had a huge impact. But it is funny to me because even me, I feel like I've seen it so much, and I really haven't. It was just there. It was everywhere.
I guess it just sits in our brains.
It does. It does. And I saw it. The interesting thing about Frozen, and I'm going to have a lot of very, what I'll call fun facts throughout this, is that it went through a lot of rewrites. The first screening it had, it was like, everyone was like, oh God, this is going to fail. And it was completely different. And we're going to talk about that than what it is now. But when it premiered, it was not even like the top movie when it came out that weekend. But because when people saw it, there was this word of mouth like, oh, you should go see it. You should go see it. That I didn't see Frozen until I think it had been out, I mean, months. And it was still in theaters.
Oh, was it?
Yes, because I went and saw it at the beach, and it came out in December. But I think I was at the beach in February. So it was out months, and it was packed these months later. And it was kids dressed as Elsa everywhere, mm-hmm. and they were singing the songs. And my dad was getting so annoyed, and I remember turning to him and being like, this is a kids' movie, Dad. We're just going to have to let them have a lot of fun. And I'm sorry, but they're having the time of their lives.
So did you just want to go to see it and your family came, or?
Yeah, I wanted to see it after I heard all these things about it. And yeah, we were at the beach and I guess I convinced them to come. I don't remember it being like a difficult conversation. I think I just like...
Right.
Like, I
mean, it would have been a difficult conversation to convince my adult parents and adult siblings to go see Frozen. Like, there'd be no way that I could have done that. So that's why I'm like, huh, that's interesting. Oh, like, that's a whole feat to me.
That would not have been difficult. My parents love movies. They'll,
you're right.
If I'm like, hey, we have to go see this, generally they'll be like, okay.
Nice.
So that was how I saw it the first time. And I did really enjoy it. I've been on the ride in Disney World. It is one of those rides that is like always a 90-minute plus wait, but I went during a rainstorm once, and the wait was very short, and it was cool. I like how it has this moment where because basically you're in a boat, and actually I've been on this ride. It's in Epcot before it was Frozen, and it was like a ride about Vikings. Yeah, it was like a boat ride, kind of like Pirates of the Caribbean, but it was about Vikings. But now it's Frozen. And there's a scene where you're like in the boat and Elsa's like, let it go. And she does that whole thing and the boat shoots backwards. It was really cool. I loved it.
Yeah, obviously I've never been on this ride because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
As well as the fact that, can I say at the beginning of that song, I didn't know that the beginning intro belonged to Let It Go. I was like, because I kind of complained about it. I was like, oh, I don't like this. Oh, let's let it go. Yes. Oh, my bad.
Yes. Yes. We're going to talk about Let It Go. But yeah. There's also a musical, a Broadway musical. It's touring right now. They just performed at the White House. So it spawned all kinds of things like that. It's in Kingdom Hearts, which is this video game series I really like that is very complicated. And I've learned it's only become more complicated because of what happened in Wish, which I haven't seen, but I got spoiled on because everyone was like, what does this mean for Kingdom Hearts? And was done by the same creative team.
Wish isn't out yet, is it?
Yes!
Oh, it is? I thought it was just coming out soon.
No, it's out.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is probably part of the reason why it didn't do well in the box office, which we'll also talk about later.
I look, I'm part of the problem.
Yes, Samantha, it's all you.
My bad.
There is a Tangled cameo in Frozen, which is perhaps related to what happens in Wish. That's what I'll say.
Oh. In the first one?
Yeah. Huh. It's very short. It's very short, but yes.
I think I've seen this before on TikTok where they're like, spoiler, like who that is, how yeah. Disney loves incorporating.
Yeah, it was basically like at the end, you see them, Rapunzel and Flynn, walking into the castle. But it's like very minor. It's very brief. Right. But Wish really went all in. That's what I'll say. Also, yes, this movie was everywhere. I remember very vividly when it came out. I was at the beach with my friends, and this older man, who I know is a friend of the family, came up to us and was like, look, I really need to get away from Frozen for a minute. Can I just sit here and talk with you? Because his grandchildren were just, like, they were belting out the songs. We could hear them. And they were just over and over and over. And he was like, he was done.
I think that's the biggest point I remember. Like, I was thinking, I've never seen this movie. This one song, why yes. can people not let this go? And also, Menzel has an incredible range and vocal abilities. No one can match that shit. Stop it. Don't get me wrong. Because you do you.
Yes.
You sing your heart out.
Yes.
But after a while, it becomes a trial.
After a while, it becomes a trial. Yeah.
You're
and
welcome.
Even Menzel, she talked about that because she said originally it was a much lower pitch, that whole song. But she was like, if we're going to turn this into a power ballad, it needs to go high. And she's kind of jokingly said she regrets it because now every time she sings it, she's like, why did I do this to myself?
It's intense. Like, I cannot imagine the level she is a professional, like mm-hmm. Wicked was her like big, she was always big, she was big with Rent, she was always big, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I got to know her from Wicked.
Yes.
And her vocal range is insane. It's also one of those vocal ranges that you don't think is that intense because she does it so flawlessly, and mm-hmm. then you pretend like you're trying to get it.
Yes.
And you're like, oh no, I don't get that. Felt that way about country singer Martina McBride. Whole different conversation,
oh,
I know. But she also has one of those like vocal ranges that doesn't make sense because it doesn't sound like that until you try to hit it.
Oh.
Like you're like, oh, shit, there it went.
Yeah.
But again, with that said, yeah, Let It Go is a difficult damn song, and that everyone has tried is quite funny.
Well, didn't they sing it in Ted Lasso? Didn't she sing it?
She also has surprising vibrato and vocal range as well. Like she's surprising that when you hear her sing.
Yeah.
And she does it so much now because I think she is a trained professional as well, that you're like, oh, of course. Of course we should have known she could hit that. But I don't know. I've not seen.
I feel like she did it in the episode, the first season where they went to karaoke.
You're right.
And then Ted Lasso had the panic attack. She was singing Let It Go.
You're right. She does because it's for her niece or her goddaughter, rather. You're right. And I can't remember. I'm sure she hit it flawlessly as well.
She did. Oh. Yes, I will say I had a couple friends with me once, and we were doing Disney karaoke on the way to Disney, you know, as you do. And Let It Go came on, and neither of them had seen Frozen. I was like, oh no. And they were like, what? I was like, well, we're going to go. Yes, I tried it. And it was a disaster. Of course it was.
And what makes me laugh about this is because the karaoke songs that I've heard you do are typically so low that it's baritone. I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh no. I can't do it.
So I can't imagine.
Well, I was like, oh no. Here we go.
But, oh, man. Yeah, that I feel like that in itself, I'm sure there's statistics of the most popular songs. This one is one of the outside of, like, I just can't wait to be king. Like, a lot of the Lion King songs, that's probably one of the highest grossing slash most popular song.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no, absolutely. And we're going to talk about it because the song was a big point of this movie and conversation. And it was everywhere. And later the creators, producers said, like, this was lightning in a bottle. We're not going to do this again. Like, sometimes you just can't predict when something hits. And that it really hit for a lot of reasons.
But then they tried two more times.
Well, interestingly, because they had their song that was like the Let It Go song, but they're like, it's never going to be Let It Go. Like, that was just such a...
Yeah, I don't know any songs from any of the other two. And actually, my partner, after we finished the movie, was like, what's in the second one? I was like, I have no idea. I don't know what... I don't have a clue what the second one is about.
Oh.
I'm assuming babies or the second partner or something.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, my God. This is so fun. No, yes. We're going to talk about it. Spoilers for the sequel, actually. there's not any of that.
Really?
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah, we are going to talk about the second one. And I'm going to say spoilers, even though... like, intense spoilers, even though we're not going to talk a lot about it. It's just, like, the plot points are important to other things we're talking about in this one. Okay, also, Samantha has a thing I'm going to ask her about once in this after I get through the plot. But we're going to go through the plot real quick. I tried to make it quick, but, you know, I don't always succeed in these things. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise, all things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Frozen is a 2013 animated Disney film based on the fairy tale The Snow Queen by Hans Christian Andersen. And yeah, I feel like we talked about, you probably all know the plot, but very briefly, Anna and Elsa are the princesses of Arendelle, which is in made-believe Norway. As children, Elsa displays these magical powers that let her control snow and ice, but she doesn't quite have them under control. And while playing with Anna, Elsa accidentally strikes her down with her powers. And their parents call in the local troll authority, who informs them that only an act of love can thaw a frozen heart, and that the only way to keep the cold from Anna's heart is to slow it down. Elsa is instructed to wear gloves and conceal her powers, conceal, don't feel. And Anna forgot about this whole thing. Elsa becomes more and more withdrawn. She pretty much locks herself up in her room, especially after their parents die in a ship accident, which is, some people think, from The Little Mermaid, but whatever. And yes, and she is the heir of Arendelle. Elsa's powers become harder and harder to control, and she locks herself in her room, ignoring Anna's calls to play or at least open the doors to their kingdom or open her own door. But coronation day arrives, as much as Elsa dreads it. Anna, however, is very, very, very excited. She's on top of the world with happiness. She's eager to get out and break their isolation and maybe meet people, maybe find true love. Almost immediately out the doors, she has a clumsy meet-cute with Hans, one of the many royal members of Weaselton. They share a nice song together and decide to get married. Anna introduces Hans to Elsa and informs her of her plans to wed him, but Elsa's like, no, you cannot marry someone you just met. All of this is going on while the king of Weaselton is trying to get access to Arendelle's resources one way or another. Things escalate. Elsa's glove comes off. Her powers spiral out of control. It freezes over the harbor and manifests like a blizzard on the whole land. The people are shocked and horrified, so Elsa flees to the mountains and builds a castle of ice. She takes off her gloves. She uses her powers, lets down her hair, but not out of the braid, which is kind of important, while belting out a song about letting go of everything that she's been holding on to. True power ballad. Meanwhile, Anna is determined to fix everything, and she leaves Hans in charge. She goes to get her sister. However, it is a blizzard in the middle of summer, so she needs tools, proper clothing, and a guide, and she finds this in Kristoff and his reindeer, Sven. They encounter a few dangers as they make the journey, all while Kristoff is shocked that she got engaged so quickly. They run into Olaf, who is a snowman that can move, talk, sing, your animal sidekick that every Disney movie has, based on a character from Elsa and Anna's youth, who accompanies them. Once they arrive at Elsa's ice castle, Anna attempts to sway her to come home, but Elsa remembers hurting Anna from before and accidentally hurts her again, giving Hans and all the people who want to punish Elsa more opportunity to do so. And they come to her castle. They take this excuse to attack her. She could beat them. She has a moment. She has like a dark side moment. We're going to talk about that. But she doesn't want to hurt them in the end and is captured. Meanwhile, Anna's condition has worsened. Her hair is turning white. She's cold. And Kristoff takes her to the love trolls that raised him. The same that consulted when Anna was struck with Elsa's ice as a child. And they tell her that only true love can thaw the ice heading towards her heart. And then they sing a song about how Kristoff is a bit of a fixer-upper and she's a bit of a fixer-upper and everybody's a bit of a fixer-upper. But they should be together anyways, even though he keeps protesting Anna is engaged. But basically, like, she's going to die. So they ride off in search of Hans to get true love's first kiss and stop the ice and save Anna. Hans reveals his plot to a freezing Anna who's like, please kiss me, save my life. And he's like, oh, you're so stupid. I'm actually going to let you die, blame Elsa, and then take the throne. Because yes, he does. Elsa is now chained. Her hands are restrained in the dungeon. And yes, he is going to take Arendelle for himself. And it's all been a ploy. Olaf arrives and he melts because the fire, and he just doesn't seem to understand heat. But then as he is melting, he's like, some people are worth melting for. And later he's reconstituted. It's fine. And Elsa escapes, though the storm rages on worse than ever. Anna is recovered enough to go out into the snow in search of Kristoff, who she now realizes, okay, maybe this is the guy I love. Anna stumbles out into the snow. Kristoff is returning to her on Sven's back after realizing the danger. Anna sees him, stumbles towards him, and then sees her sister Elsa being approached by a sword-wielding Hans. Clearly, he's looking to kill her. So Anna makes a choice, turning away from Kristoff and towards Elsa. She raises her hands up just as she freezes, the ice getting to her heart, and she saves Elsa from Hans. The snow stops, and Elsa hugs a frozen Anna, sobbing. Her tears, an act of true love, thaw Anna, who unfreezes and comes back to life. Anna and Kristoff get together. Elsa gets control of her powers after realizing love will thaw. And so it's bright and sunny in Arendelle again, but Elsa makes a skating rink She's accepted her powers. The kingdom is happy. Elsa and Anna are happy. And Elsa swears they are never closing the doors again. And until the second one.
No.
Yes, I can't wait to talk about this knowing you know nothing of
it. I know nothing about that
one. Oh, it's going to be so fun.
I've only watched the one.
Okay. So this movie was hugely successful. It was the highest grossing animated film ever made until 2019 with Frozen 2. It had a global gross of $1.3 billion. And as of 2017, it was the best-selling Blu-ray in the United States. It won two Oscars, Best Animated Film, which was a first for Walt Disney Animation Studios, and Best Song. Also, there's a whole meme about this because John Travolta introduced Idina Menzel as Adele Dazeem.
It was real bad.
It was real bad.
It was real bad.
Yeah. It spawned a Broadway musical, yes. It's a ride slash a whole world, I think. Video games, shorts. It was so popular. Actor Josh Gad, who played Olaf, allegedly could not find an Elsa dress for his daughter soon after it came out because they were sold out everywhere. And he emailed Bob Iger about it. And I guess he was able to find him one at one resort. Anyway, Iger has called it one of Disney's most successful franchises. Kristen Bell, who plays Anna, said her daughter wanted to dress as Elsa and for Kristen Bell to dress as Elsa too. And we're going to talk about that in part two. Serena Williams claims to have seen it 3,000 times. from the Guardian. I love this quote. Sometimes the Frozen party threatened to rage too hard. Reports surfaced that a woman in Japan had divorced her husband on the grounds that he was too ambivalent towards Frozen. This story emerged from a post on a Japanese marriage forum where a man claimed his wife had told him that there was something wrong with him as a human being if he was immune to the charms of Elsa and Anna. And I did find a lot of articles about how it's very, very popular in Japan. I felt like that would, if we made this a mini series, I would go into it. But that's what I'm going to say about that. I did want to ask you about Once.
Yeah. So what's funny is you talked about the shipwreck, and that is actually a plot point for Once Upon a Time. So Once Upon a Time, which is one of the series that I loved, that was a Disney ABC series that pretty much took a whole spin on the fairy tales, Disney fairy tales and all the fairy tales alike. And most people, I think we've already talked about it, like starts out with Snow White and Prince Charming being cursed and then coming into the real world in the land. That's all these things. And then they bring all of the characters. You have Little Red Riding Hood, you have Pinocchio, you have Rumpelstiltskin, you've got all of them. So on this one is the fourth season where they introduced Frozen characters. So we have Elsa and Anna coming in, and the entire series is wrapped around Frozen, essentially. And the way it works is they do a lot of flashbacks to try and, they go backwards into unraveling a mystery, and then it shows, like, the relationships between Anna and Elsa. And I will say that the characters, the people they cast as the characters was on point. Like, they did a great job between, like, the voices sounding like it. Of course, they never sing, by the way. Mannerisms being on point. And, of course, they add, like, Beauty and the Beast in the mix in the story. But this is kind of like a prequel, I guess, conversation, because you have an aunt coming into the picture who has the same powers like Elsa. And then this whole level of, like, Elsa being the monster, and then this the aunt being a monster because she was treated wrongly by her family, specifically Elsa's mother. And then Elsa's mother and father, like, it turns out that they had gone on this mission on a ship to try to cure her, quote unquote, cure Elsa. I don't know if this is a thing. The Wishing Star is a plot point. Is it? Okay. When you said that, I was like, oh, maybe. It's a part of the Once Upon a Time as well, as part of the what they were looking for. They talk to the trolls and trying to find it. They come to the villain, who is Rumpelstiltskin, who is helping them with all these things. So many things. Hook is a part of this as well.
Wow.
And it all talks about, like, being family and love. And Emma, who is the main character of the entire series, who is the daughter of Snow White and the prince is trying to take control of her own powers and not feeling like an outcast and feeling like she had been abandoned as well. So those plot points come through together. Very sweet. And then trying to get Elsa and Anna reunited as well in this whole conversation. And where, because Elsa pops up to the real world confused and no one knows how she got there, and then no one knows why she's there, and then turns out she had been like cursed into an urn that held her because they were trying to stop her powers. Mm-hmm. And then she got here and she's confused because she's lost her. They always lose their memory, by the way. This is a huge thing in the entire series. They all lose their memories all the time. Mm-hmm. But they can't find Anna. And she knows that she needs Anna to control her powers, quote unquote. And then that's it. That's the whole plot point. But those are the things without going through the entire 12, 14 episodes, which, by the way, apparently was one of the highest viewed episodes, seasons for that series, which was a pretty big success. It was around for like 6 seasons. It kept going. At one point, I was like, all right, eventually you're going to have to stop losing your memory and stop trying to be reunited with each other because this is getting old.
What? No. That's interesting. I've been meaning to watch that show. I think I'd like it.
You really should. It's so enjoyable. There's a lot of like, aw. Like, it's one of my feel-good movies because they always have this thing about like, redemption arc for all the villains. And some of them just can't. They just can't.
Oh, really?
Just saying.
Okay. Interesting. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
One of the reasons, like I said, I wanted to talk about this was because I thought about doing the fairy tale for our book club that this is based upon. And I read it and I was like, wow, this is so different. And it's interesting in the ways that it is different. So we just go through that real quick. Allegedly, Walt Disney himself wanted to adapt the Snow Queen from pretty much the get-go. And they've like on and off tried it. Since those early days, they really tried to make it happen since 2008. Like, they had a table read in 2008 with, like, Megan Mullally, I think. But the movie is only a loose adaptation of this fairy tale. The ending especially is very different. But, yeah, I think some of the changes they made are really interesting. Frozen is, yes, based on Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tale, The Snow Queen, which was first published in 1844. It is told in 7 parts and follows 2 young friends, Kai and Gerda, which I watched Frozen with the subtitles on last night, and there are characters named Kai and Gerda in it. Their friendship is tested by the Snow Queen, and then ultimately they win, you know. But so one of the main differences between the fairy tale and the movie is that the Snow Queen is the primary antagonist in the fairy tale, while she is one of the primary protagonists in the movie as Elsa. The villain is instead Hans in the movie. So in the story, the Snow Queen lures children away knowing that they'll freeze to death. In the movie, Elsa is traumatized and afraid of her powers, but she doesn't want to hurt anyone. She removes herself from situations where she thinks she's going to cause harm to minimize harm. And she tries to minimize her ability. She like tries to squash them away. She has to use the power of love and being open to control it. Anderson's Snow Queen is defeated by youthfulness, innocence. Like she's basically like your evil witch in more traditional Disney movies. She has more powers in the fairy tale, or as far as we know, because now it's going to be a Frozen 3 and 4. Who knows what could happen? She can like kill and numb with her kisses. She's very seductive. The fairy tale opens with the devil disguised as an evil troll who makes a mirror that distorts reality and later breaks that mirror into pieces that bury themselves into the eyes and hearts of people.
All right, that's a part of Once.
Really?
Yeah, they actually have that at Once.
That's cool. I got really
excited. They talk about that story, now that you say that. That specific story, the aunt relays to Elsa and Anna, or she tells it to Anna and kind of like, this is about to be what happens. Have you ever heard this fairy tale? And how did you break it? Like, as an omen. But yeah, that actually, yeah, that's a part of the plot point too.
Oh, cool. yeah, I mean, it also reminds me of like Snow White and stuff, mm-hmm. which again, if you've seen Wish, you know mm-hmm. what I'm talking about.
Interesting. It sounds like they did like a blend of the fairy tale and Frozen in the Once Upon a Time, because the Snow Queen, that's what she's referenced as in Once Upon a Time, and it's the aunt
mm-hmm.
to the girls who just wants to bring the family. But she is the antagonist
okay.
until a certain point.
But she does have a redemption arc.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so these shards from this mirror hit one of these kids and they turn him like cold and distant. They make him vulnerable to the Ice Queen's powers. And to save him, the other child cries warm tears onto him and they melt the ice in his heart, which is similar-ish to the ending of Frozen. But notably, as I said, Frozen went through a lot of rewrites. The original ending of Frozen did place Elsa much more in the camp of a villain and had her torturing soldiers, intentionally creating an army of snow monsters. In this original version, Anna and Elsa weren't sisters. They weren't royalty. And Elsa had been left at the altar and she is so upset. She goes out to a wishing star. She sees a wishing star and she wishes to never feel this pain again. And due to a prophecy reading, a ruler with a frozen heart will bring destruction to the kingdom of Arendelle. Everyone thinks she is the harbinger of destruction. I haven't read the original script, so I'm not sure how that works, but yes. But the prophecy was actually about Hans, who joined forces with Elsa to cause an avalanche to defeat Anna. Eventually, Anna did convince Elsa to join her, and Elsa regained her ability to love. However, the producers were worried that no one would like Elsa because she spent most of the movie as a villain. Here's a quote from one of the producers. Making them, Anna and Elsa, related led us to the idea of her living in fear of her powers, Elsa. What if she's afraid of who she is and afraid of hurting the one she loves? Now we had a character in Anna who is all about love and Elsa who is all about fear. That led to making Elsa a much more dimensional, sympathetic character. And instead of the traditional good versus evil theme, we had one that we felt was more relatable, love versus fear. And the premise of the movie became that love is stronger than fear. One of the things director Chris Buck had in most versions of the film was a moment where Anna's heart was frozen and needed to be thawed. Chris said, does it always need to be true love's first kiss that solves the problem? Does it always need to be a man who comes in and rescues the female? Could it be something different? And that led to a different ending. Which I'm like, yes, but also, Yes. Like, it's like, I don't know why. I'm very glad you came at this to this viewpoint, but also, yes. I love it. I did love the ending. I'm going to talk about that more, but it is funny to me reading it, especially now, like looking back, you're like, yes, yes. Jennifer Lee's notes on the original screening. So I told you they had this like horrible screening of the first version, and it was not good. Jennifer Lee gave notes on it, who she felt bad. She felt bad about it. She was like, it was very mean, but they were like, no, it was needed. But one of the notes she had was, quote, "The snowman was persnickety and mean because this is when Elsa was a villain. And Anna, I felt, was this mountain man's teaching her everything. The women were against each other, too. And I think I just felt personally, I kept saying, if you really want to make this about a different kind of true love and compassion, then it's hard because they're against each other." And it was like the production schedule got moved by a year. So it was a very scrambled process, which I'm sure was incredibly stressful, but it was very collaborative. Like, a lot of the actors have spoken about, well, I was like, my character wouldn't do this or wouldn't do this. And because it was collaborative, it sounds like it did work. It doesn't always work, but in this case, it seemed like it did. And yeah, many people did describe the original story, the original script, as like a traditional Disney storytelling thing with the evil witch, the young heroine. But when they changed it, it changed the whole game. And they were in part thinking about this because of the success of Tangled, which I would also love to talk about, which wasn't necessarily so princess-centric. And by the way, both Idina Menzel and Kristen Bell, and I'm pretty sure like a lot of other people in this movie, auditioned for Tangled and didn't get it.
Made me sad when you see Menzel being like this huge Broadway star having to audition for a musical.
I know. And she said she feels, I don't want to, like, I feel like I'm going to misquote it because it sounds like I'm saying she feels like she didn't get it because of a technicality. But she said she wasn't quite the right age because they wanted like the young heroine or the old stepmother. Oh. And she was like kind of the mid. So she didn't fit either or. Which is also a problem in a lot of these things.
Which is odd because previously it didn't matter.
I know.
I know. That's interesting. But also, I don't know anything about Tangled.
Oh, I have a list of movies at the end of part two that I want to come back to. Tangled is one. We're going to have to spread it out, obviously.
That was not really heavily focused on in once. But Brave was.
Brave is on the list too. I have some thoughts about it. When I want to hear your... Oh, we're gonna talk because I want to know how Once handled it.
Merda.
Yes. Can you change your fate?
Sure.
Apologies to everyone. I have a friend who says that quote all of the time.
I assume it's from that movie.
It's from Brave.
Okay.
Yeah. Brave, which by the way, if you believe in the whole multiverse of Pixar, is the start. Okay. Another thing that was different between Frozen and the fairy tale is that they were, Elsa and Anna were princesses. The foils for them were poor children. Kristoff was a violent robber girl who threatened to kill one of the children and a sentient reindeer who was essentially Sven. So they made him a bit more palatable. Also, religious overtones. There was a lot of religious overtones, as there are with many fairy tales, that they did not include in the movie. There was a lot of darker material in the fairy tale that they did not include in the movie. Cannibalism, abuse, murder.
Always.
Those fairy tales, if you go back and read them, oof.
You realize the actual fairy tales are like, that's dark.
That is.
Hansel and Gretel was real dark.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It was. But okay, so I feel like we've set the scene. This is going to be the end of our part one. And then in part two, we're going to talk about the legacy, a bunch of themes, all kinds of things. And Once and Brave, I'm very excited. But yes, this is it for now. If you have any thoughts about this, Oh my gosh, please let us know. You can email us at stephanieandmomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram and TikTok at @StuffMomNeverToldYou. We have a Tee Public store and a book you can get. Holiday gift, perhaps. wherever you get your books. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.